I want to encourage you to take your pew Bibles there and turn to page 342. Page 342. We're going to read through the first chapter of Nehemiah and a few verses into chapter 2. And we're going to just encourage our hearts this morning, this first Sunday of a new year, as we think about a new beginning. So let's stand together as we look at God's Word, page 342 in the Pew Bible. Chapter 1 of Nehemiah and verse 1 says, "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, 'O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night. For your servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, we have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, "If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then, even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart.' I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me, 'What is it that you want?' Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it.' And the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, 'How long will your journey take, and when will you be back?' It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time." Father, in these few moments, would you encourage us at the beginning of this new year that when our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible with him. So bless your word this morning and strengthen us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And this will be a few short thoughts this morning as we think about a new beginning. And as you think about Nehemiah, he's in a very comfortable role. He's the cupbearer to a king, kind of a very influential job, nice place to work in the palace, good food, all those things, position, prestige, and so on. And yet, It is to Nehemiah that God calls and brings him to a new beginning. A word of explanation before we look quickly at his word today. Nehemiah was written in 445 BC, and so 445 years before the birth of Christ, these incidents are taking place. You notice it speaks of the month Kislev, that's the ninth month in the Jewish calendar, and it's equivalent to November, December on our calendar. And at the beginning of chapter 2, it speaks about the month Nisan, and that is the first month on the Jewish calendar and equivalent to March and April on our calendar. So just keep in mind there are some months in between where chapter 1 begins and the events that happen at the beginning of chapter 2. And Nehemiah, as I have said, was in a very good situation. And it must have been just an ordinary day. A day when he got up and got dressed and went about his work to serve the king, and he meets his brother, Hanani. You know, the Bible is full of ordinary days. It was an ordinary day when Moses led the sheep to the far side of the desert and God lit up the tree and called him. It was an ordinary day when David was looking after the flock and someone came to the field and said, "Samuel is at our house and he's talked to all your brothers, but he wants to see you." And it is an ordinary day, January the 6th, today. Yet as we gather, it is extraordinary because the Lord our God is in the midst. And he has both plan and purpose for you and for us throughout this year. So let's think for just a few moments about three things from this text this morning. The first is that we see as Nehemiah comes to the Lord, he is recognizing the past. And, you know, as you come to the end of a year, you look back and you think about the things that have happened in it. And then many, many, many people make New Year's promises that they know they're not going to keep. And say, you know, things like, "I'll lose weight this year." Did anybody make that promise? Just checking. Many things like that. But as Nehemiah is recognizing the past, he's thinking about a once great city and a nation that was blessed by God in a tremendous way. And now in ruins. What happened? Well, sin and idolatry had entered the national fabric, and there was neglect of the one true and living God. And you see, that's always the beginning point. Oh, it might take a while before it takes hold, and the results then become obvious, but when we move away from that anchor that is the Lord our God, sin begins to grow within national fabric. And here we're told that the people were broken and in disgrace. Have you ever stopped to think about that word, disgrace? What is it that we say we have the grace of God? So what is disgrace? Grace is to have favor with God, and disgrace is to have no favor. And when sin is allowed to rule and reign in a human heart or in a people, we fall into disgrace. Here the scriptures tell us the walls are broken, so their protection has been demolished. They had trusted in man-made defenses and things, and people still do. People still trust in the fact that if I try to live a good life, I'll make it to heaven. But my Bible says not good enough. My Bible says you need to have the forgiveness of Christ and a personal relationship with Him to be able to turn away from sin and to embrace Him and to let Him become Lord of life and Lord of all. Many, many, many people today still trust in what they can do. You see, the walls are broken down. The gates are burned. The security has been removed. There's no lock to hide behind. The riches and pomp and circumstance of the city is all gone. It's all disappeared. And they are burdened and troubled. The enemy is at work through his lies and deceit. Bondage has come. Either those who were taken in bondage and carried away to Babylon, or those who remained there and were just slaves to the circumstance. And the people of God needed a new beginning. You know, bondage comes when we hold on to things from the past. Things like bitterness and anger and resentment and disappointment. And one of the things I've appreciated about Byron through the 2 years of walking through all that stress and strain is that I would often hear him say, God is still in control. And I pray for those who have injured me. So I know he's not Irish. Looking at the past helps us to see the deep effect of sin. And it leads us to action. That's where it led Nehemiah. And only God can change it. And so Nehemiah goes to God. And the second thing that we see as we look at this chapter is that he has the reality in the present. The now. You know, we cannot live in the past, either in its glories or its defeats. All that we have is today. I read in a devotional this past week, 2 days of the week that I don't have to worry about. And you don't have to worry about either. Yesterday, it's gone. And tomorrow, it's not here yet. So what we have is today. Today. And as he addresses the reality of the present, he's broken before the throne of God. He comes to the Lord and simply pours out his heart. I want to ask you this question. Some of us are old enough to remember a day when churches were packed to the rafters. What happened? Oh, how we need a new beginning. A fresh sense of God leading and strengthening and empowering in these days. And that too is what Nehemiah was after as he looked at the past and realized all those glories had slipped away. And in the present, there is this trouble and strife and difficulty. But you know, the book of Nehemiah begins with great affliction and it ends with great joy. And there's a kind of a woohoo sort of moment in there where they know that God is at work. Look at the process. How did it begin? Nehemiah says 5 things here in verse 4. He says, I sat down. That news, as he looked at what was happening in the present in Jerusalem and to the people of God, and as he had thought about the past and so on, brought him to the place of humility to just sit down and to realize, oh, the real issue is that we need God. And he's broken before the Lord. He says, secondly, I wept. There's a deep heart cry that he's pouring out his heart to God and saying, oh, we have sinned. He mourned over the sin that caused such pain and disaster. In my week sort of quiet between Christmas and New Year's, I reread The Intercessor, the story of Rees Howells. And I realized again how God took a man and by faith taught him how to touch the hem of the garment and how to pray through to the place where he knew that God had answered, regardless of what the circumstances might look like. That's exactly where Nehemiah is in this text that we're thinking upon this morning. He says, I fasted. And you know, there are times when we just need to be seeking God and nothing else. The things of sustaining life he had given to God to spend time in the presence of God. And it was only required for a Jew to fast on the Day of Atonement. So this is exceptional. And this is the kind of prayer that brings that new beginning. 12 times in the book of Nehemiah, you'll find, I prayed. Wow. That's what makes such a difference. And nothing can change until we lay hold of the living God. That prayer closes with confidence that God is going to move and work. And we see that in the beginning of the second chapter because he acts upon what he has asked God for. Give me favor with this man. And as he approaches the man, he is given that favor. And thirdly and quickly, we see there is renewed hope for the future. Yes, things have gone downhill, but that is not where God would have us to sit and to say, oh, things have gone bad. Ah, times are tough. Oh, what will we do? Where can we go? No. What we need is that renewed hope in the source of hope. And our future is safe and secure in Him. You see, a new beginning is about to happen as Nehemiah comes to God and surrenders himself so that the Lord may use him. It began at the place of prayer and developing intimacy with God. It was built on a covenant relationship with God. He is taking God's word and he is praying it and saying, Lord, this is what you said, this is what you have done, this is why I am coming. You see, if we would have a new beginning this new year, we must also come to the place and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have us to do? How can we serve you better in this year? The honesty of personal confession is seen in verses 6 and 7. Nehemiah does not say, Lord, your people, they messed up. More than 70 years ago, they were such a bad bunch of sinners, you had to come and clean up and give Jerusalem into rubble. And those people, my goodness, how could they be so stupid? He says, Lord, your people and I have sinned. It's so personal. And God hears the cry of his heart. I want to take a leaf out of Pastor Corey's book, and could I just read you a comment from Warren Wiersbe? Works better if I turn it the right way up. Concerning the first chapter, one of his paragraphs, he says this. The king's cupbearer would have to sacrifice the comfort and security of the palace for the rigors and dangers of life in a ruined city. Luxury would be replaced by ruins, prestige by ridicule and slander. Instead of sharing the king's bounties, Nehemiah would personally pay for the upkeep of scores of people who would eat at his table. He would leave behind the ease of the palace and take up the toils of encouraging a beaten people and finishing an almost impossible task. And with the help of God, he did it. In 52 days, the walls were rebuilt, the gates were restored, the people were rejoicing, and it all started by a man who cared and surrendered to the Lord. My time is gone. But could I challenge you this morning at the beginning of this new year? Is this not a great time to say, Lord, I want more than anything else to see you at work every day of this year, to know you're at work in me, and to know that you're at work in us as your people. And so, Father, may I take you at your word and ask for grace and favor in this time in which we live. It is your love that overcomes past disasters. It is your love that breaks down barriers in the present. It is your love that encourages faith for the future. Father, would you fill me with your love? Nehemiah was willing to say, Lord, I just want what you want. And my challenge to you at the beginning of this year, in our hearts, can we say, Lord, I just want what you want. And I'm willing to be and to do and to go as you will lead. Father, we want to take a moment and surrender ourselves and give you thanks and praise that a new beginning is possible. Jerusalem looked like it would never recover. But in less than 2 months, you sent a man who rebuilt those things. Father, there are parts of our lives that so desperately need a new beginning, a fresh walk with you, the fresh fullness of your Spirit, the outpouring of your love and grace. So, Father, would you continue to work with us as we sing this song together? In Jesus' name, amen.